This is WCNO Palm City, the good news station.
Know that you're one of the Lord's treasured possessions? Malachi 3:16 and 17 says in part that those who feared the Lord and honored his name will become his treasured possession. Welcome to Hidden Places, where you'll hear stories, testimonies, and casual conversations from believers just like you who make up the Lord's treasured possession. Each one of us has a unique story to tell, and during this hour, the Lord wants to bring forth those treasures out of the hidden places. Good morning. Welcome to Hidden Places. And I'm sure that that song may be a shock to many of our listeners who would be expecting to hear bagpipes on WCNO. Well, you know, the Lord always takes us in varying directions. So today we'll be talking a little bit about Scotland. I will, at least. And so I just want to welcome you to Hidden Places and thank you for joining us today. Thank you to all of our faithful listeners that tune in every week, our brother Tim. Thank you for all your comments. Thank you for listening. Thank you for your feedback. We really appreciate it, and we take everything to heart. And so, again, we thank all of you for joining us. So I just want to welcome my co-host, Danette Maldonado.
Good morning.
Good morning. And our brother Sean O'Hay, who is also a co-host.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Here he goes. Again, thank you for joining us. And so, Sean, we haven't seen you for 2 weeks. Is it 2 weeks? Were you here last week? No, you weren't. Deanne was here. He doesn't remember when he was here.
Yeah.
Deanne, it was just,
it was just
Deanne
three,
and you last week.
And now it's a new three.
Yeah.
Also, I can tell you is we are learning how to stand fast and maintain our spiritual freedoms by which Christ has set us free.
Hallelujah.
That's what your music did to me.
You see? Amen.
I can't wait how the Lord's going to develop all of this because I have several notes here. But I did want to read out of Isaiah 13, starting with the first verse. It says, Isaiah, son of Amoz, received this message concerning the destruction of Babylon. Raise a signal flag on a bare hilltop. Call up an army against Babylon. Wave your hand to encourage them. as they march into the palaces of the high and mighty. I, the Lord, have dedicated these soldiers for this task. Yes, I have called mighty warriors to express my anger, and they will rejoice when I am exalted. Hear the noise on the mountains. Listen as the vast armies march. It is the noise and shouting of many nations. The Lord of Heaven's armies has called his army together. They come from distant countries, from beyond the farthest horizons. They are the Lord's weapons to carry out his anger. With them he will destroy the whole land. Scream in terror, for the day of the Lord has arrived, the time for the Almighty to destroy. Every arm is paralyzed with fear, every heart melts, and people are terrified. Pangs of anguish grip them like those of a woman in labor. They look helplessly at one another, and their faces aflame with fear. For see, the day of the Lord is coming, the terrible day of his fury and fierce anger. The land will be made desolate, and all sinners destroyed with it. The heavens will be black above them, the stars will give no light. The sun will be dark when it rises, and the moon will provide no light. I, the Lord, will punish the world for its evil and the wicked for their sin. I will crush the arrogance of the proud and humble the pride of the mighty. I will make people scarcer than gold, more rare than fine gold of Ophir. I will shake the heavens. Then the earth will move from its place when the Lord of Heaven's armies displays his wrath in the day of his fierce anger. And then it goes on talking about everything and the destruction of Babylon. And I just particularly want to talk about those first few verses in relation to what the Lord was showing me about when Scotland descended upon Boston, Massachusetts last week. And all of us know that we have been in this political fervor and fever for way too long now. There's a lot of years that have gone on, and most of it from when President Trump was elected in 2016. So it seems that from that time that our country has spiraled just into this political, you know, it's us and them. It's the left and it's the right. And, you know, and they're just all the nastiness and all of that. And, you know, we talk about Trump derangement syndrome. And, you know, so we're seeing all these displays of all of this stuff. And anyway, so I am just seeing that it has reached fever pitch, and something has to happen to break that over the nation. Because, you know, any person that's alive in America can tell that there's a lot of upheaval. That there's people like, what is going on here? Everybody, there's hatred. All this hatred is, you know, boiling over. And we're seeing it all over social media, all over the news. But here comes the Scots. Last week with the World Cup. You know, I think God ordained for the World Cup to be held in America at this particular time. So that when the nations, you know, doesn't it say in Isaiah also that that nations will come to your light? Mm-hmm. So think about all these different countries coming in. But I'm just starting with Boston and with the Scots, because I don't know what's going on in any of the other cities where they're holding the World Cup. But with Boston, God is doing something and has done something, and I believe it's starting with the Scots. And I just want to say that I'm not into soccer or anything, don't know anything about the World Cup, don't know who's doing what, but I'm from the Boston area, so anything that's going on up there I kind of will pay attention to. And when I begin to hear the reports of the Scots, you know, immediately they go to the bars, you know, and that's what they do. They party at the bars and they hang out at the bars to all hours of the night. But the Tartan Army, which is the Scottish fans of their team, I mean, they are an organized, large group of people. I think they have 40,000 members.
Wow.
And probably 10 or 20,000 of them descended on Boston, you know, in the last week or so, even more than that. I don't know how many. So, you know, what you usually see with people that are in bars and drinking is, you know, a lot of other things happening. And there's probably things like that happening. But what is being revealed is the camaraderie and joy. And they, I think the Bostonians are just as surprised as the Scottish of how welcoming and how wonderful each one is, each country, and their representation. But they're bringing a lot of, again, peace and love and camaraderie, singing and laughter and crying, you know, with passion for their country. So if you look, I'll talk a little bit in a minute about the Scots themselves, but I'm just trying to say, as soon as I saw just a couple of videos, I was like, oh, wow, this is interesting. And then the Lord gave me a vision, and I saw the heavens opened up, the sky opened up, and what came was all of the flag that they have, the blue flag with the white cross on it. And I saw there's thousands and thousands of those blue flags, and they were like an army. They were all in precision, lined up, coming out of the heaven, out of the heavens. And I mean, I was like, what? And I just feel like the Lord is saying he's bringing revival to America through the Scots, through the World Cup. But beginning in, I know there's stuff going on all over the nation, but Boston is one of the earliest settlements in America. And, you know, there's a connection there with the Scottish history. But all I'm saying, I'm just saying it right now, Boston is going to be in revival. And I think they already are. There's a cultural revival taking place. And what I'm witnessing is and probably everybody else that's watching and listening on social media, that the people in Boston are like, they're beside themselves. They're like, oh my gosh, I just want to be around these Scots, you know? So think about with the Scots that they are like diehard fans for their nation, and they haven't won a World Cup in years, but they are committed. They are a group. They're committed to their team. So I'm looking at this in the spiritual sense, you know, that as they are a team, they're there to support their team. That's what they're there for. They're united under one front to support their team, and they're very loud and boisterous about it. But anyway, and then the bagpipes, you know, there's a whole history with the bagpipes, which we'll talk about that in a minute. But I believe that God is bringing revival, cultural revival to America. And because of with all the political stuff that's been going on, it's I've felt it like there's no way out. You know, it's like something's got to happen in the country to break it's almost like a monotony of all of the media and the junk. You know, it's like we forgot who we were. Mm-hmm. So then, so this happens now. So the Scots are all like, they're like, oh, you know, trying all this different food. So they're tasting American food for the first time. So there's now this joy that's coming. And when you see that they've never had Chick-fil-A or they've never had Taco Bell or whatever, the stuff that, you know, we were just like, okay, yeah, been there, done that. But with them, they haven't ever had it. They've never been to Walmart. They've never been to Costco. So we're seeing all these videos of people that are experiencing what we take for granted. So look at this in the spiritual context. And anyway, so of course, there's all these other people that are around the country. There's English people. There's people from Morocco, Algeria, all these other countries that are experiencing America in all these different states. And the people are welcoming them. They're welcoming the World Cup. And then the bottom line is that these people are saying, oh, we didn't want to come to America because they told us, you know, that there's shootings on every corner. They told us that there's, you know, whatever stuff they're being fed through the media. So imagine their surprise when they come and it's completely different. And they're talking about how nice the people are, how welcoming. So this is real America. And anyway, so I just see that there's cultural revival is going to take place. And that's going to open up more room for the gospel to be preached. And the gospel is being preached anyway, but hearts are not open. People are not open to hear anything. But, you know, both sides were wrapped around the axle with political stuff. I think America, we've just turned into this political left to right, and that's how we're judging everything. But anyway, the Lord has shifted. We've been talking about a shift for a little, several weeks now. So I believe that this is the shift, and that through America holding and sponsoring the World Cup, that the world is going to see America in a different way. And America is going to see the world in a different way, you know, with all the people from all these different nations. And we're going to realize that, you know, we really have a great country and we need to do whatever we can to keep our country. And it's all about freedom. All of it is about freedom. And so I just wanted to get into about the Scottish history in America. You know, whenever something comes up, the Lord, I just go on this crash course of history. And but I just wanted to talk about the Scottish history in America. Maybe other people know about it, but I didn't until I started reading. So I just want to read this. This is an article by somebody named A.M. Watson, seekingthetimelessanchor.com. And this person is a believer, and they're also Scottish heritage. But let me just read this, and then we'll see how the Scots have played a big role in the founding of America. So it says, America as a whole has a very strong Scottish heritage. If you were to research America's beginnings, you would find that Scots made up a strong majority of our nation's early settlers. In fact, the very first Scottish immigrant was aboard the Mayflower, and that person was Edward Doughty. And as I was reading that, I'm like, wait a minute, our friend Jill is a direct descendant of Edward Doughty. And I texted her earlier this morning, and I said, who was your, you know, Mayflower person that came in?
Wow.
So he was the first Scottish immigrant. So Jill, if you didn't know, you were Scottish instead of Irish or whatever. Now you know. Because they used to, when they brought people over, they would just call them Irish instead of Scottish. They lumped them together because of the king. Okay, so around the time America was being settled, Scotland was in an upheaval of political and religious turmoil. The Jacobite uprisings were raging and the Scottish people were fighting to see their rightful king be restored to the throne of Scotland. During this time, Jacobite soldiers who were captured were often sent to places like Australia and America as a punishment for their crimes against the British crown if they weren't executed first. In the years following the last uprising in 1745, the British imposed severe laws and persecution on the Scots. They weren't allowed to be in possession of weapons. Their native language of Gaelic was banned, and the Highland clans, tartans, were outlawed. Some of the Highlanders were even put to death with the sole reason being that they were Highlanders. The severe persecution caused many Scots, especially Highlanders, to flee their country in search of freedom. In fact, there are more people of Scottish Highland descent in countries around the globe than there are currently living in Scotland. This is where America came into play heavily. Even prior to the War for Independence, America possessed more freedom than any other place on earth. Many Highlanders fled to her borders in search of it. Because of how expensive a voyage across the ocean was, many Scottish immigrants became indentured servants in order to gain passage to America. They deemed freedom worth the price it cost to gain it. And today, roughly 8% of Americans are of Scottish descent. And during our fight in America for independence, the Scots made up a large portion of our military. Many had fled British persecution in Scotland, only to arrive in America and face the tyrant's sword once again. They understood that there was no other refuge to flee to. That's what spurred most of them to fight for independence. The colonies would have to stand against Great Britain tyranny if there was ever to be a free nation on earth. Incredibly, there were many founding fathers who were of Scottish ancestry. I'm sorry for getting so emotional about this.
No need to.
John Adams, Alexander Hamilton, James Monroe, John Paul Jones, and James Madison were all of Scottish heritage. Nearly half of the signers of the Declaration of Independence were among the descendants of Scots who fled to America from the cruel arms of persecution. James Wilson, a mastermind behind the American War for Independence, was Scottish-born and raised. John Dunlap, who printed and distributed the Declaration of Independence, was also a Scottish-American. And it's also been noted by historians that there is some resemblance between the Scottish Declaration of Arbroath and the American Declaration of Independence. And that Declaration of Arbroath was made on the 6th of April in the year 1320. Can you imagine? Mm-hmm. I think that was at the time of Wilberforce, maybe. So the main part of that that's most notable, where it says here, as long as 100 of us remain alive, never will we, on any conditions, be subjected to the lordship of the English. It is in truth not for glory, nor riches, nor honors that we are fighting, but for freedom alone, which no honest man gives up, but with life itself. And then that's the best known words as part of that Declaration of Arbroath. Foremost among Scotland's state papers and the most famous historical record held by the National Records of Scotland. The declaration was written in 1320 by the barons and the whole community of the Kingdom of Scotland to the Pope. It asked him to recognize Scotland's independence and acknowledge Robert the Bruce as the country's lawful king. The declaration was written during the long war of independence with England, which started with Edward I attempt to conquer Scotland in 1926, when the deaths of Alexander III and his granddaughter Margaret left Scotland without a monarch, Edward used that invitation to help choose his successor as an excuse to revive English claims of overlordship. When the Scots resisted, he invaded. And then, well, let me just stop it there. So if you guys have anything you want to add. God is using the Scots again to help America. You've got to see it in the spirit that this is, they're coming at this time. These are people that are willing to fight. They're willing to fight to the death for freedom. That's the whole thing about freedom. I know in the Mel Gibson's movie, Braveheart, I remember watching that years ago, but I don't, you know, really remember all of the gist of it. It was like the 1200s or 1300s.
What,
the Braveheart.
Yeah.
You remember, do you remember anything about it?
All I remember is the quote, which when they were heading out, where it's a rallying cry, where they said, they may take our lives, but they'll never take our freedom.
Mm. Being the gist of the movie.
Yeah, and it was just, you know, referencing the movie, and that always, like, stood with me. The fact that they were willing to die, because to die is to live in perfect freedom. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that's why, right, we sing that good old song, it is for freedom he set us free, right?
Amen.
Jesus set us free. We sing that because it was for freedom that he set us free.
Mm-hmm.
Freedom from slavery to sin. Freedom from this world. I mean, we can, there's a list, the list goes on. But gosh, this, I never knew myself about the Scottish. And then when you're mentioning, like, our founding fathers, like, most of them.
I know.
John Adams, mm-hmm. Alexander Hamilton, James Monroe, John Paul Jones, and James Madison. And, you know, we can speak of a lot of nations who came and sacrificed here and gave into mm-hmm. this land. But, yes, I do see what you're saying prophetically. And, you know, we're always saying here in this in Hidden Places how what's happening in the physical is a spiritual indication, you
yes.
know, and how we must... I just have notes here where there's a battle of our sight, which is our perspective. So how are we looking at things? Are we looking at things through the lens of eternity? Are we looking at things in the spirit of what he's doing, of what our God is doing? And... you know, here they are, they're going for this World Cup, but they're celebrating one another. Mm-hmm. Like last night, not to steer off from the Scottish at all, but last night, even when we were watching Mexico, you know, with Korea, you could tell the love they had for each other. I mean, and the chuckles within the frustrations mm-hmm. of like, we want to win, but you can feel the heart
yeah.
of both nations. You can feel the heart, just like you can feel the heart to this day of the Scottish, you know?
Exactly.
You can feel the heart. And it's like you're looking at both of them. And for the game's sake, you're like, oh, man, we, you know, whoever deserves it most. It's like, again, right? Christ deserves it all. Like, I just keep centering on Christ. Christ deserves it all. And so this is just speaking in so many ways. Like, we have to go for that win. We
Amen.
Have to go for that prize mm-hmm. right now set before us. They're going for the World Cup. We're going for that prize.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's just is it's saying, you know, the Lord God is my strength and my song. Yes, Isaiah 12:2. Right. They're singing their song. They're doing their part. Mm-hmm. They're representing their nation.
Exactly.
That's what we're doing right now in the spirit. And I kept hearing pioneers and settlers. I just kept hearing, and maybe because of the Scottish and what we're talking about. So, you know, I just started, as Karen was sharing, I was like, wow, what is a pioneer? You know, like what you know, take me again to like the definition. And so, of course, I looked at the American Dictionary, you know, the Webster's Dictionary of the original English language, and it says the art and practice of war.
Mm-hmm.
One whose business is to march with or before an army to repair the road or clear it of obstructions, work out the entrapments, or form mines for destroying an enemy's works. And so I was like, I was like, okay, you know. And so, and if you look at it, you know, in the regular dictionary, it just says to open, to prepare for others to follow.
Mm-hmm.
So we think about words like establish, launch, introduce, mm-hmm. you know, create.
Redefine.
You know, and then you dig into settlers, right? And 'cause all this is about taking our place and position.
Mm-hmm.
Karen was really just like exemplifying how they march, how they were in order, how they were in unison, you know. And it's like that spoke to me, take your place and position. And so, you know, these settlers now, because we all have a job, right? So there's pioneers mm-hmm. and settlers. So the settler is a person who moves to a new region with intention right. to establish a community and utilize the land, right? One who settles something. So who are my settlers out there who will settle the word of the Lord, will settle it in the land? You know, it's like something of like a new region, like taking over a region and making it new. And an example, a settler of disputes. Are we settling disputes right now, or are we caught up with these disputes? You know, so I just kept hearing those things and, you know, those two words. And I kept hearing love, holiness, and humility. Right now, we really need to know what is love, what is humility, and what is God's holiness, and really become those things right now. I think that's also part of the armor in this time, in this army, mm-hmm. in this battle. And so, gosh, this is just so powerful for me. I mean, that's really what I have at this moment. But wow, I'm in agreement with you.
And that's what I feel like they've come to establish something.
Yeah,
you know, they're partying and, you know, doing all their stuff.
Right.
But yet, I feel like they just set their foot down in Boston and said, "Look, this is." You know, we're here. They made their presence known.
Yeah.
They're unified.
Yeah.
And when they had the Boston Red Sox, they invited the Scottish soccer fans to the baseball game at Fenway Park.
Mm-hmm.
So the Scots said, "Well, let's just do our bagpipe march."
Yeah.
So they marched from one place to Fenway Park. You know, it's like, okay, we're here. We're coming. And they're not baseball fans.
Yeah, you see?
They kind of look, you know, they call it rounders, whatever that is.
Yeah.
You know, so they're not really into baseball. But they said that the recorded noise, the decibels, when they were singing, because they got all of the Red Sox fans singing, the whole stadium. Oh, all of Fenway Park, which is really not that large.
Mm.
They sang all their songs the whole time, even when they're, you know, they're throwing the ball and
yeah,
just yeah. It was just everything. So the the people just joined in, all the other fans. But they said that they had the highest recorded decibels in that stadium next to the maximum before your eardrums are going to burst.
Wow.
So, hello, doesn't the Lord send in, you know, a shout with a shout? Think about it, with a shout. I feel like they've come and they've brought this energy and this boisterous voice that's unified to just blast the heck out of the enemy. We got to take a break, so we'll be right back.
Do you know what happens every Wednesday at 11 a.m. on WCNO Christian Radio? News and views to edify the body of Christ. Exciting authors, pastors, teachers, folks invested in richly blessed ministries where the church meets the world. God is doing things you want to hear about. That's Wednesday Live, airing every Wednesday at 11 a.m. on WCNO 89.9 FM. Every Monday, we will bring you stories from the front line of ministry, ordinary people doing extraordinary things for God. We will redefine where the front line is, from risky missions to comfortable caring, always with the invitation for you, the listener, to look for the front line in your life. Tune in to 89.9 FM every Monday at 11 a.m. Get on the front line. There is no doubt we live in chaotic times. Just listen to the news, if you dare. The world is a battleground for spiritual warfare. If what you see or hear in the news frustrates you or makes you fearful, then you need something beyond the news. You need the good news. Every Tuesday on WCNO at 11 a.m., a biblical response to the issues of the day.
And I just want to talk about bagpipes for a minute. And so I found this. I didn't have my source where I got this from. Online, of course. You know, somebody that does history, the history of bagpipes. So it has here that bagpipes are used as instruments of war. So think about the spiritual battle. So let's look at this. Throughout history, bagpipes have played a crucial role as instruments of war. Their distinct sound has served as a powerful tool to inspire troops and boost morale on the battlefield. Scottish Highland clans often employed pipers to accompany their warriors into battle, creating an atmosphere of bravery and determination. The bagpipes became synonymous with Scottish military culture, symbolizing the strength and resilience of the Highland clans. The skirl of the pipe is like no other sound on earth, stirring the hearts of all who hear it. It carries a sense of honor, tradition, and patriotic fervor, reminding soldiers of their purpose and instilling fear into their enemies. General Robert McIntyre, a Scottish military historian, said that the British government's classification of bagpipes as instruments of war during the ban, they banned them back in that time that we were talking about earlier in the when the Scots were trying to get their freedom from Britain. Bagpipes accompanied Scottish regiments into battles such as world wars, the Boer War, and the Gulf War. The pipers played a vital role in conveying messages and rallying troops on the chaotic battlefield, their haunting melodies cutting through the noise and the chaos. Today, the bagpipes' association with war is still deeply rooted in Scottish military traditions. Bagpipe bands can be seen at military parades and ceremonies, paying homage to the instrument's historical role in warfare. The bagpipes continue to command respect and admiration as they carry on the legacy of inspiring soldiers and symbolizing Scottish national pride. So they had the Battle of Culloden that was happened in Scotland, April 1746. The last pitched battle on British soil, with the defeat of the Jacobites, marked the end of the Scottish clan system and led to the ban on bagpipes. In their Battle of Somme, in July of 1916, Scottish regiments played the bagpipes as they went over the top during this devastating World War I battle, providing a sense of courage and unity. And on June 6, 1944, which just recently we were remembering that on D-Day, bagpipers landed on the beaches of Normandy alongside Allied forces, boosting morale and providing a sense of familiarity in a foreign land. And then in the Gulf War in 1990 to 1991, they played on the front lines, bringing a touch of tradition to the modern battlefield and fostering camaraderie.
Mm. Wow.
That's why when you hear them, you know, I guess most people have the same reaction. I don't know. Mm. When you hear them, it's the Scottish, they're unified. Of course, they have some Scots, you know, went with the Americans and some stayed with the British. And they're still loyalists to that. But it's that national pride that they have. And what a picture of how the body of Christ could be moving together in a forward front to dismantle the lies of the enemy. And anyway, go ahead, you guys.
In and of every war, there's always casualties, and casualties are real. And during warfare, you know, there is a lot of people that are very zealous. But we have to recognize, you know, even as you were saying, Nanette, about this pioneering effort and this pioneering spirit, in this apostolic time, there are many, many, many zealous people. And I would just, you know, say, don't try to run to the front of the line, because if you're not hooked up and really connected with that apostolic mentality, you can be taken out, you know. And when we all have something to say, and that's great, but it's really time to listen. We have two ears and one mouth. And if we really hear the word of the Lord, you know, we're going to do what Paul said at the end of the book of Corinthians, or 2 Corinthians, when he said, examine yourselves whether you really be in the faith or not. Because when you are, it's okay to be a zealot. You know, a zealot is a person who loves God. But in your zeal, you must use wisdom in a supernatural outpouring time that we're literally standing in right now, because it's the technology of heaven that's changing the culture through God's people, as it says, from generation to generation. And in every generation, there's a remnant-minded people that will hear the word of God. They'll obey that word of God, and it's what will really change, you know, their generation by the dominion of change for their generation. So we know that a real shift has taken place. Change is here now, change is here today, change is here to stay. God is still speaking. Ears are opened really wide to the assignments of reformation and its reform. And this is Galatians 5:1, so that we can maintain our spiritual freedoms and our liberties by which Christ has set us free. But it comes with real navigation. That's why I say use wisdom. Your love for God is great, and it's great to be zealous about the things of God, but use wisdom for the navigation, because this is coming with correction without adding anything to what Jesus already accomplished on the cross. So course correction is really here now.
Amen. Amen. As long as 100 of us remain alive, never will we, on any conditions, be subjected to the lordship of the English. It is in truth not for glory, nor riches, nor honors that we are fighting, but for freedom alone, which no honest man gives up, but with life itself. It was for freedom that Christ set us free. That's what we're fighting for in our, both in the natural and in our spiritual lives. We're all crave freedom. And are we willing to lay our lives down to obtain that freedom? You know, the Lord tells us to surrender. The Apostle Paul tells us to surrender. Surrender to Jesus. Turn your life over to him so that he can accomplish his plans and his purposes in you. But it's for freedom. He came to free us from the sin. He came to free us from this certain death that we're dying from, which is sin that all of us are in. We were born with it. And there's no escape from it except through the Lord Jesus Christ. And our battle is not against flesh and blood, but it's against powers and principalities, rulers of darkness and spiritual wickedness in high places. And the Lord came to give us freedom and to release us and to deliver us from the bondage of sin. He came to bring us out of the darkness into his light, but it needs to be done his way. And it needs to be, we, in our surrender to him daily, daily surrender, daily fellowship with him, daily, reading his word, finding out what he's about. It's he came to set us free. He didn't come to put us again into a different kind of bondage. You know, there's a lot of religious activity that will put you back into spiritual bondage. And there's many in the church who are in spiritual bondage to man's teachings, to man's just, you know, whatever. Demonic teaching, just wrong stuff. There's many that are bound up with religious devils, but Jesus came to set us free. He came to release us from that. You know that the kingdom of God, you know, when we pray the Lord's Prayer, you know, Lord, let your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. So it's like, okay, so what does that mean? On earth, in my life, as it is in heaven. On earth in your life as it is in heaven. How is in heaven? There's no bondage in heaven. We've been set free. And He wants you to experience freedom today. Get out of your old religious mindset and get with him.
That is the mentality, Karen, of the apostolic that empowers people and gives people the freedom to act and to do so responsively to be responsible for it, to do it, you know?
It was for freedom that he set us free. If you don't know any other scripture, you know, isn't that, enough. You know, what's freedom in Christ? What does freedom in Christ entail? He paid the price. He went to the cross. He did all of the work so that we can have life. We don't have to pay for our sins. He already paid for them. And it's in the surrender and it's in the giving up of what we want and coming alive to what he wants and stepping into that freedom. But the kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy. We're seeing a lot of joy happening around the United States at the moment. I mean, there are people from every country, I think pretty much most of the countries, here in America right at this time during the World Cup. And we're seeing joy. We're seeing joy on the faces of Americans. We're seeing joy on those, like Nanette was talking about, during the games. They're all of them are celebrating each other. All the different nations, righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit, in the Holy Ghost. That's what the kingdom of God is about. And I really believe that this World Cup, that this is a shift in our nation after having all these people here. You know, and we're seeing that, like, we're being awakened to what our freedoms are. I mean, these people, like, this one guy went into Costco, I think, and just can't believe the amount of things that are all there in one place. He said, in my country, we don't have half of this stuff, and you can't find it anywhere. But here, you just walk into one building, and it just goes on and on and on. You know, and we take it for granted. You know, we're like, well, I ain't going to Walmart. You know, I'm not going to Target. No, we're going to boycott Target because whatever. You know, we can just see how ridiculous some of our views are. And that's taking advantage of freedom that we have and capitalism.
Yeah.
Because that is capitalism.
Yeah. And I just can't help but to see that everything that's happening around the church, against the church, is simply just to push the church to get into place.
Yes. Expound on that. That's true.
You know, because I'm just seeing it. It's like it's awakening. It's restrengthening. It's getting us to the point that our back is against the wall to really release that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I know people talk about the raw and all that stuff, but, you know, just to release and reveal the true sons of God, like to push what the church was supposed to be in its original form, Jesus's original intent. And I love that there is a rising of the true apostolic. And I love that there is a rising of the true prophets of God and the true evangelists. I personally am a firm believer of the fivefold ministry coming together. I see it in the book of Acts. I just see it in, you know, first century Christianity. And, you know, I don't know if it's necessarily going to look like that. I'm not saying that at all, but I believe in it. I believe that it works. I believe that if we can lay our, again, right, this pride, our self-centeredness, yeah. our flesh, sin nature, you know, if we can lay all that down, and because these apostles and prophets, right, they sought the Lord together.
Mm-hmm.
Then they receive their part, and then they came together with their part, right?
Yeah.
And made a whole part to govern, to lead, to, I can't even get my words out clearly, but I'm seeing it and I'm trying to even get the lingo for it. But that's what I desire.
Think about it like this. Easier said than done.
Yeah.
But real willingness and obedience to God's submission and authority. And most people, you know, look, they'll come to the threshold, but they'll never cross it because, you know, Scripture says, if you're willing and obedient, mm-hmm. you shall eat the good of the land. But what does that really mean?
Right.
It means that when God is really showing up, His government shows
yes.
up.
Amen.
And if you can't submit to that kind of authority, you'll never walk in the dominion that is beyond the threshold. And, you know, a lot of people want to do their own thing and keep doing it. But, you know, you're just going to go around in a circle because, as you can see, God is raising up some really key people in some keen places. But again, it's, you know, they're real servants. They really have an apostolic mentality, but they're willing and obedient to do what they have to do so that their people are no longer in bondage. But again, submission and authority is a word that most people don't want to, they don't want to hear.
Amen. And, you know, the last thing I'll say about the Scots, the ones in Boston, you know, the Tartan army, they're, however many strong, they are 40, 50,000. You know, they're known to be rowdy and all of this stuff, but we're not seeing that this time. They're enjoying. They're just having a time of joy. They're not breaking things. They're not breaking beer bottles.
No.
You know, they're enjoying being with the Americans. And I just feel that spirit it's like, you know, we're here to kind of encourage you guys. We're here to lift you guys up. And to let you know that, you know, everything's going to be okay.
Yeah, just like with the game yesterday, where they were loving each other on,
right?
And it was intense. They didn't score until close to the end, you know,
mm-hmm.
and that was a hard hit. But again, they're still coming together. They're still coming together.
Amen.
And they're celebrating one another, so.
Amen. Well, we're just about out of time for today, so thank you for joining us. We'll be back next week again. Well, Nanette won't be here. Deanne won't be here. I hope Zane will be here. And then I'm going to have Penny Cook will be coming back in as a guest. Penny was on with us a few months ago with Del Bates. So we'll be talking more about America and the prayer and all that.
I'll miss her.
I know. But you can listen in.
Yes.
All right. God bless. And we'll see everybody next week. Join me again next Friday at 11 a.m. as we bring forth more treasures out of the hidden places.